I was meeting with a parishioner yesterday, and we were remarking, as I've had in several conversations, with how green the spring has been, now moving into summer, how everything is blooming in this extraordinarily lush way, given the amount of rain and cold and warm that we've had. And as we step past Pentecost into this next long green season, often now it's called the creation season, season after Pentecost, there are a lot of parables will be offered that are drawn from the earth, drawn from the world. These comparative sayings that say, look at what's so familiar and notice that in your own life, and then notice what you may not have noticed before. Take it a step deeper. So today, three parables, and I'm including Ezekiel because it's so closely tied in. From Ezekiel, this word, God speaking in God's own voice. I myself said several times, not just the effects of nature, but this is God acting. I will take this cutting from the tallest tree, and I will put it on the highest mountain, and I will grow the biggest cedar, the cedars of Lebanon, so big that lots of nests, lots of creatures can take shelter in its space. And then from Mark, it's just planting and harvest, the most basic thing of life, but just noticing it. The farmer scatters the seed, and the sun shines, and the rain falls, and it grows, and he doesn't know how it grows. And then it produces the full head of harvest. And then, the next one right after that, the mustard seed. This little seed, it's about the size of the head of an ant. This little brown mustard-colored seed. How big do you think it grows? It becomes this shrub that you could almost call a tree. Again, so big that you can put multiple nests in its branches. There's three elements that keep showing up in all three of those that are very clearly meant for us to get and get into our own lives. The first one is just the scale of it. From the very small beginning, very humble, invisible beginning, comes this thing, this event, this product, this happening that is just unimaginably huge. That what we expect from something is all out of scale with what we actually get. In the positive, it's way bigger. The opposite of scarcity. Scale. The second one is this, what I'll call humility or connection. This sense, strongest in Ezekiel, that God does it. This is not something that we, you know, the clever farmer says, look what I did. I grew a whole field. Saying, no, I don't know how this happens even. This is a miracle. This is God at work. God on such a scale that in God's own words in Ezekiel, I make the high tree short, short tree high. Things happen at such a great scale, but it's all for the sake of abundance. This trust and connection to what God is doing. And then the third thing, that this thing, this all out of proportion, abundant, scaled, growing, what God does in the world is for others. It's for nourishment. Nourishment is the key and end of it. The cedar holds a whole ecosystem of life. The field of harvest, the seed becomes a field of harvest and becomes an abundance for everyone. The mustard seed becomes this huge tree of a shrub that, again, the birds make their nests in. Pat, so the parables are here for us to say, oh, okay, so what does that mean for me? I mean, they're stories that are just threads of stories to say, okay, I got to do some work with this. I want to answer these parables by telling another parable, or by noticing another parable, and that is the parable of Jake. Jake among us. So Jake's got a story, like we all have a story. And Jake's story starts young, like all our stories do, but Jake's story with music started very early. 5, maybe earlier. You know how you notice in someone, a little child, like, wait, there's something there. You can see it already at this age. And so Jake says, you know, I was always going to be in music. This is just what my path was. It was so strong. And he followed it. But that was the seed. There was the seed planted. The humility piece is very present in Jake. I see it. I've seen it all along. It's a particular kind of humility. It's acknowledging the gift. Saying, yes, I am gifted. So what's it for? What does it do? It isn't something that you just hold on to. Say, it's everyone can recognize it. How can I be grounded to rooted and rising, grounded and growing up? That's the core meaning of humility. Humus, earthed, rooted, not compressed and small. Grounded to grow. Then this third thing, this offering. We've all experienced the offering of what Jake has allowed to happen in his life with music. Jake is one of those directors. I've seen it in others' eyes while he directs. He's one of those directors you love to sing for because he brings the music out of the people out here and the choir, I know. Watching the spark in the eyes of you all as you sing, watching what's happening in the rehearsal is almost, I would say it's even more fun than participating in worship because there is so much dynamism. It's offered, it's given away. And there's more to this story. Because Jake has kept listening and kept hearing. And there was this other call, or maybe it was the same call, but just another facet that Jake says was also very young. This hunger to listen in with other people to their lives, to help them hear what was between the lines of their lives. What was the meaning they're trying to make of their lives, with their lives? What's the music of your life? Helping people to hear that and heal through hearing it. And for, as any one of us who help others to hear, it heals us, helps us to hear more deeply. And Jake is answering and listening to that call in and around and with this deeply rooted call in music to say, I feel called to pursue a vocation in psychology, which is again so deeply rooted in listening. And it has those same features, the seed planted early in Jake's life that is taking root in this grounded and growing way. And it's a piece of work that is only realized in its offering, in its givenness. And we are with Jake today at this particular seam and juncture in his callings, this calling of life. And it's a pretty scary place to be. All of us have these in our lives where we think, okay, I'm hearing something and I have to go there. I have to leave home. I have to leave the familiar. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what it really is all about. But I have to go. This is that key thing that happens when you set out on a pilgrimage. That's like that first, like, oh, I gotta leave home. Like, if I don't do this, it's the vow, you know, that I can't bear to break, that I'm breaking. And that is a moment of surrender. Which is, this is why Jake's the parable, is that that's where we all are pretty much all the time. And once in a while we see those moments of it, say, oh, I'm going to have to let go of everything I was holding on to again. Which doesn't mean I'm going to lose it, just means if I try to control it, it's going to die and break, and it's not going to work out so well. That's the core of this of these three parables. When Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is like. Kingdom is not a place, it's not a time, it's a posture, it's an attitude to life. So every time we say the Lord's Prayer, it's right there. Thy kingdom come means thy will be done. It's not consecutive, it's the same thing. It's saying, all right, this is a bigger thing than I can possibly figure out. God building up, God bringing down, but it's growth. And so, yes, I offer my life, I offer myself to this path. And where these parables are meant for this moment, Jesus offers them to a bunch of scared disciples, a bunch of people who are saying, can I really go for it? And he's saying, the prophet is saying, this is what life looks like. The kingdom of God is like means this is what it looks like, what life looks like when God's in charge. This is what life looks like when the ego lets go and says, this, to just give up, give in, and give way. And it's these three things. When our lives are available, which is our choice, the availability part is ours, on the cusp of trust, if you do this, the seed that is planted, the seed that is your life, the seed that is in your life will grow. We don't know how. In miraculous ways. Simple, but miraculous. And sometimes even what might look like destruction to the wheat plant is actually harvest. There's more going on than we can ever see. And the second, God is giving the growth. God is doing the work. Our work is to root in that so that we can rise up from that. Nothing else will give us that strength, that foundation. We are not pawns in God's game. We are vessels. We are channels when we are available. And then that third piece, that God is working in our lives. Everything that's happening is for others. It is for the healing of the world. And as we lean into that availability, it just happens. We may never see it. We may never know it. I would say we're guaranteed never to see it or know it all. Once in a while, you get to see a glimmer. But, you know, think. I'm leaning back into Jake. Think of the people who have changed, the teachers who have changed your life. Everybody's got one or two, usually not more. They're so rare. But everybody's got a teacher. Very often it was a small thing or small things, little moments of what they offered or gave that they weren't aware of. In fact, sometimes when you go back to the teacher and say, do you remember when you said, like, no, sorry, but it changed my life. That's how small those seeds can be, and that's how big they can grow. This isn't theory. This is happening all the time, all over the world. And the more we become available to it, the more exponential the growth. And what happens as individuals, happens, again, even more as a community. When we put that all together and become a community that is listening together as individuals, but collectively. So what is God doing now, here? What are the seeds that are being planted? Or what are the DNA seeds of St. Paul's that are growing, we don't know how, we don't even know where, in new ways that are becoming something unimaginably huge? And it might be unimaginably huge like that mycelial fungal network under the ground that is connecting all the trees together so that they're all listening and talking and breathing together. That's big, that's huge. Botanists are starting to talk about not individual trees anymore, but you know, what is a tree? It's a whole, it is an ecosystem, like that cedar. And again, sounds boring, but it's so real. Our work is just to be available. It's a big risk to say, I'm gonna trade in my plans, my projects, like my certainty, my quest for certainty. I'll keep the quest, but not the certainty. Let go of that and say, I don't know what's going on, and I don't have to. All I have to do is keep opening my heart with the vertigo one more time. Take the next step, stay on the pilgrimage, and trust that God is doing the work. That is the work. So, Jake, we will be watching you, not in scrutiny, but as the continuing parable that you are, and we'll let you go. So it's the both and. Go with God, break our hearts. We will mend and heal, and we will keep watching our own lives together, learning from ourselves. That's how we do it. We learn from each other as we let God do this now thing that is our lives in this moment, unimaginably more, as Paul says, than we can ask or imagine. That is the kingdom of God now.